yourself.
Hello, my name is Stephen Johnston. I'm working in the at-large race. I got my platform on the back of my cars over there, and I talked to some of the people here at the end to talk to you more. Thank you. Stephen Johnston.
My name is Barbara Hughes, and I'm also running the at-large race. I am a recently licensed attorney and special education advocate. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you have after. I have signs here, I have literature here, and I love your ability to know. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, the second portion of the night is the prepared questions. And let me just make a note here. See Kenneth or not here. So how we're going to proceed tonight is in the same order. I'll call you up in the order that you're listed on the sample ballot, and then I'm going to draw at random a question from the prepared questions, present that to you, and you'll have 1 minute to respond. So Linda Bright. There is growing interest among residents and tourists to experience farming activities such as on-farm educational programs, pick-your-own operations, farm stands, culinary experiences, etc. Are you in favor of and do you support the growth of agritourism?
Oh, absolutely. Well, as I indicated earlier, I am from the country and I am a past former farmer. So absolutely, I think it is beautiful that we would take an opportunity to train our youth and anyone who would like to learn more about agriculture and what we need here in our city. I think it's an excellent idea. I would support that.
All right, thank you. Gary Hubbard. In reviewing the city's comprehensive plan for the southern part of the city, or the county as it's affectionately known, are you in favor of maintaining a green line, thus controlling development, keeping the rural character in place, and not extending water and sewer south of any river road?
Absolutely. You know, if you have a green line, you need to keep it. I grew up in the farming community up in Harlan County, Kentucky. So we need to actually make sure we keep our farming community. You know, I always say, if you can write, thank a teacher. But if you can eat, thank a farmer. And that's the way it's got to be. So, yes, I'm against any green line going past any green line. As far as the southern winds, maybe we can build a jetty, put some grasses in there, keep the land a little bit. You know, my family's from New Orleans and Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We don't have that kind of money to put in spillways. But, yes, I'm for just no past the green line, no development.
Thank you.
And no hookup for the city sewer.
John Moss. Today, council members are broadly accountable as they are elected by all voters in the city. The idea of changing council elections to a ward system has again surfaced. Under a ward system, while each council person would vote on every matter citywide, aside from the at-large members, they would be accountable only to voters within their ward. Wouldn't a ward system dilute our vote and our ability to hold each council member accountable?
I think there are strong arguments on both sides of that equation. We don't vote for every member of Congress. We don't vote for every member of General Assembly. And those are effective governing systems. But what I think is important is that you, the voter, get to decide. You should be given the opportunity. How you are governed in our city charter is a covenant between the General Assembly and you. We should not deny you the opportunity to vote and register your opinion. Do I think the ward system is better? The answer is I do believe that it increases competition. And you can talk about accountability, but when you don't have the competition to impose sanctions, it's a facade. But in the end, I'm just one opinion. There's 451,000 opinions, there's 260-something thousand voters, and those voters should have the opportunity to go to the polls and express their opinion. It's their government and their decision counts.
Thank you. D. Oliver. Recurrent flooding is a major problem. What would you recommend or consider as a part of an action plan to help mitigate the issue of flooding and sea level rise in the southern part of the city?
Well, we've been looking at this for quite some time as on the Planning Commission. And we've watched, the short time I've been there, the regulations changing as far as addressing the flooding in this area. But this area is extremely sensitive, as you all know, with the southern wind tides that blow in, and it makes it impossible for the water to come out. When a swamp fills up, there's nowhere for the water to go after the rains have stopped and the winds have stopped. It's Mother Nature. But we need to do as much as we possibly can as far as development down in this area. We need to be smart, we need to be careful, and we need to be very, very sensitive. We also need to make this a big priority down here, as we've had a lot of friends whose houses have been affected. Farmers obviously have been affected by Congo Ferry Road. That needs to be addressed to be allowed them to be able to cross through. There's a lot of things down here, but I assure you that I will continue to make it my most important priority to protect this area in any way I can. Thank you.
Aaron Rouse. Do you support the Agricultural Reserve Program, or ARP, yes or no, and if no, why not?
Yes, I support it. I strongly support it. I think we have to do more to protect it. Listen, we live in a unique city, like I said once before. We have to make sure we value every segment of our community. You know, one of the most important things I learned playing in professional sports is that the lineman can't do the linebacker's job, the linebacker can't do the safety job, and nobody can do Aaron Rodgers' job. We all have to value each and all of us because we're all on the same team. And when we work together as a team, we win. And when Virginia Beach wins, Hampton Roads wins. Thank you.
Thank you. Allison White. Pongo Ferry Road is an important transportation route, both for residents and grain trucks, that is susceptible to recurrent flooding. It was flooded three times in 2018, twice during the harvest, thus affecting crop delivery from field to granary. There is a long-term planned road project to increase the elevation of the road to help mitigate the flooding that causes it to be closed. Would you be supportive in moving forward with the road as a priority road elevation project for the city?
Yes, I would support that project. It's an important roadway in this area for Princess Anne District. I've driven over that several times. I actually live in the Princess Anne District, and I just live at Red Mill, so sometimes, a lot of times I do go down North Landing and Mount Pleasant, and I go the other way sometimes if there's some issues down on that road. But that I would prioritize that development and that project to help the grain trucks and other, the commuting between the residents. Thank you.
Thank you. Bayside District, Lewis Jones. There is growing interest among residents and tourists to experience farming activities such as on-farm educational programs, pick-your-own operations, farm stands, culinary experiences, etc. Are you in favor of and do you support the growth of agritourism?
Absolutely. A young fellow who lived on a farm until he was 13 years old. I appreciate farming, and I appreciate the cultural benefits of having experienced farming and living on a farm. And I think it would be great for all of the young people to have that same kind of experience.
Thank you. Brad Martin. Pongo Ferry Road is an important transportation route, both for residents and grain trucks, that is susceptible to recurrent flooding. It has flooded three times in 2018, twice during the harvest, thus affecting crop delivery from field to granary. There is a long-term planned road project to increase the elevation of the road to help mitigate the flooding that causes it to be closed. Would you be supportive in moving forward with this as a priority road elevation project?
I absolutely would. Thank you for the question.
The challenge that we have with these capital improvement projects is they're supposed to be funded over 6 years, and then the construction happens in the fifth and sixth year. I think when something that is as vital as Pongo Ferry Road is identified, both for the economy down here and, quite frankly, for the safety of the citizens, if you have to get out in any kind of emergency, I think you can prioritize that and not only make it a standard CIP project, but actually shorten that time frame, because the money is there. I think we need to speed something like that up. Thank you for the question.
Thank you. Beach District, Richard Kowalowicz. Recurrent flooding is a major problem. What would you recommend or consider as a part of an action plan to help mitigate the issue of flooding and sea level rise in the southern part of Virginia Beach?
Well, first of all, the maintenance has to get caught up. We don't need to wait 12 years. The money's there. It needs to be done immediately. And that's a big issue. I don't know how we got where we're at, but somebody's been neglecting something. This is a big city, 320 square miles. All these things just didn't happen overnight. But this has to be fixed immediately. It has to be fixed immediately.
Thank you. John Earn. Do you support the Agricultural Reserve Program, or ARP? Yes or no, and if no, why not?
Absolutely. I think it's been a very valuable tool. As I mentioned in my opening remarks, agriculture is a big part of our economy. Absent the ARP, families would be forced over time in many ways to actually sell off the farmland for development as estates are divvied up. It has been a great tool for encouraging that part of our economy. It's also been a great tool for maintaining open space and actually protecting flood-prone areas. We are also actually extending it now so that it'll help in terms of protecting Oceana, in terms of banking a lot of that land that's in the interfacility traffic area. So I've been a strong proponent for it for 12 years. We look forward to continue to be a strong proponent in the future.
Thank you. Lynn Haven District, Mike Maschel. Today, council members are broadly accountable as they are elected by all voters in the city. The idea of changing council elections to a ward system has again surfaced. Under a ward system, while each council member would vote on every matter citywide, aside from the at-large members, they would be accountable only to voters within their ward. Wouldn't a ward system dilute our vote and our ability to hold each council member accountable?
It does the opposite of that. In fact, the current at-large system is what dilutes our votes, and this is how it works. Since every council member is voted on at large, you are part of a voting pool of hundreds of thousands of people, rather than a voting pool of tens of thousands of people, even for your own district. So the result is your vote by going to district voting would be 10 times more powerful, approximately, for voting for your district representative. They'd have 10 times more reason to listen to you in your community, and you would still retain the more diluted influence that you have over the at-large members and the election of the mayor. The result of this, if you do the math, is akin to exchanging 11 $1 bills for a $10 bill and 4 ones. You get more the second round. You get more influence on city council for your community, for you individually, and for your district. You get at least some representation at all if you move to electing the district members by their districts.
Thank you. Jim Wood. In reviewing the city's comprehensive plan for the southern part of the city, are you in favor of maintaining a green line, thus controlling development, keeping the rural character in place, and not extending water and sewer south of Indian River Road?
Certainly, and I think it's important to, you all know where the green line is. I mean, you see a lot of people that don't really know where it is. There is already a lot of development below the green line, including the municipal center. But I think what's more important is that there is effective and a very measured approach to any sort of development, pretty much anywhere in the city, but certainly below the green line. Extending urban services, I'm not in favor of that. And I think that's part of what helps us keep the rural character of the city, of the southern part of the city, and that coupled with the Agricultural Reserve Program certainly helps. So to answer your question, yes, preserve the green line and hold the urban services where they are.
Princess Anne District, Barbara Henley. Recurrent flooding is a major problem. What would you recommend or consider as part of an action plan to help mitigate the issue of flooding and sea level rise in the southern part of the city?
Well, this has been a real top priority for me for a long time. And specifically over the last 2 years, I've been working to try to develop a partnership relationship with all the entities that drain to the Albemarle, because we're different from the part of the city that drains to the Chesapeake. And I've been saying for years, it's different down here. We found that out with some of this development in the transition area, which was designed according to the standards they had used in the other part of the city, that just doesn't work here because we are different. So I think we've finally gotten that realization. We have some great partnerships established now, and we're going to be getting recommendations within the next couple of months about some of the things that we might possibly do to address the unique situations that we have down here with the wind tides, with the sea level rise, and it's going to be a lot of opportunity for us all to get together and determine what are the right things to do for this area. I hope you'll maintain this interest and be here to help us pick out those things that we think are best to do.
Karen Quasi. Today, council members are broadly accountable as they are elected by all voters in the city. The idea of changing council elections to a ward system has again surfaced. Under a ward system, while each council person would vote on every matter citywide, aside from at-large members, they would be accountable only to voters within their ward. Wouldn't a ward system dilute our vote and our ability to hold each council member accountable?
You know, this question was first asked at the beginning of the election season. My answer was different than it is today, so I have to admit that to you. And actually, you would think it would be the reverse. It would be different now because running a campaign throughout the whole city is expensive, exhausting, and time-consuming. So the question from an emotional standpoint is, oh yeah, let's make it a ward system. I think it would be a lot easier, a lot less time-consuming, and I'd have a lot more energy. However, I think that we need to maintain the system we have, and that we need to vote for our council members as a city. We all vote for all council members, because then all council members are accountable to you, and they are working for you. And I think that's the most valuable system, because it gives all of us the kind of representation we want when we go into the voting booth.
Thank you. Tim Wirsch. Do you support the Agricultural Reserve Program, and why or why not?
Definitely. I do support it, and I talked about ARP a little bit earlier. 100%. I think we need it, and we need it for those farmers that are farming 100%. It is a huge help for them. And again, what I think we need to take away is the loopholes that allows people to come in there and make it like a financing thing where they can make some money off of it 25 years later. There's something that happened with our ARP program that I want to point out. When ARP had some reserve funds, Mrs. Henley allowed that to go to light rail. When she was given the opportunity to do that to help with flooding, she said no. We need all the help we can get with that flooding, and I do support the ARP 100%.
The mayor's race to Davenport. Pueblo Ferry Road is an important transportation route for residents and grain trucks. It's susceptible to recurrent flooding.
Yeah, I know the question.
Okay,
sir. yes, absolutely. This is something that we need to take very seriously. This is interrupting business operations, which should take priority. One of the first votes that I took when I was elected to city council was for a report called the Dewberry Study. The Dewberry Study is due out later this year. It's going to give us a roadmap of projects that we can do to mitigate some of the flooding effects. I believe that we have to look at specific situations like the Pungo Ferry instance and make sure that we are addressing those issues, because those are not only quality of life issues, those are business issues, and we need to be one of the most business-friendly cities in the United States, and I'm going to make sure that we do that.
you. Bobby Dyer. In reviewing the city's comprehensive plan for the southern part of the city, are you in favor of maintaining a green line, thus controlling development, keeping the rural character in place, and not extending water and sewer south of Indian River Road?
Without question, you have another jewel of the city is right here in this part of the city. We have to maintain that for a lot of reasons. You know, it was an education for me when I, in my district, you know, the farmers markets there and all of the education programs there, the salute to agriculture that is there. And once again, coming down and treating patients in your neighborhood has really enlightened me to make sure that you maintain the quality of life that you all deserve.
Centerville District, Conrad Shaw Center. There is growing interest among residents and tourists to experience farming activities such as on farm educational programs, pick your own operations, farm stands, culinary experiences, etc. Are you in favor of and do you support the growth of agritourism?
I'm in favor of it on paper. I actually work in the tourism industry at the front desk of the Days and Ocean Front on 24th Street, but that's just going to Washington Beach. You want to learn something when you go and study farming. Experience it yourself. The only thing that would hold me back from that is whether or not we would spend a considerable amount of tax dollars to prop it up, because I wouldn't want the hotel industry propped up, so I wouldn't want other industries propped up with tax dollars.
Thank you. Sabrina Wooten. In reviewing the city's comprehensive plan for the southern part of the city, are you in favor of maintaining a green line, thus controlling development, keeping the rural character in place, and not extending water and sewer south of Indian River Road?
Yes, I definitely support maintaining the green line. I think it's important not to just support it, but to also protect it. And I don't agree with extending the line for the sewer. So definitely support the green line.
Thank you. Eric Ray. Today, council members are broadly elected as they are elected by all voters in the city, broadly accountable, excuse me. The idea of changing to award system is again surfaced. Under award system, each council person would vote on every matter citywide, but aside from at-large members, they would be accountable only to voters within their ward. Wouldn't the award system dilute our vote and our ability to hold each council member accountable?
In 2012, we were actually looking at the referendum, getting signatures to go to district voting. I think district voting would have actually made sure that the person that is accountable, the person that serves you is accountable to your city, ward, or borough. And this is 2012, I'm sorry, this is 2018. And we have a whole lot of stuff where the city council is telling you what they think, telling you what they think, telling you what they think. This needs to go to a referendum, and this needs to be put to the voters. In 12, that's what we fought to do. We fought to say, okay, just like the light rail situation, if this is what you want, we will abide by the will of the voter. And I think that it needs to come up again, and I think that the city, the citizens of this great city need to tell us or tell the world what it is that they want done. I heard one council person that running said one time, we don't want to be stuck with a Paul Riddick on our city council. Think about that for a moment. We need someone, we basically need to have you tell us, you are the stakeholders, and you tell us what you all want, and then the city council will abide by that.
Linda Bright.
think I mentioned this in the beginning, but I would say priorities, of course, coming up with a solution for budgeting and working through that and not flooding. We need to remedy that right away. And of course, all-day kindergarten for our children, protecting our seniors and our homeless population, addressing our substance users, because it affects all families, not just a few. Definitely the recidivism rate in our jails, when they are coming out, we need to find a place to help them to be more stable in the community so that they're not returning so quickly or at all. So, I'm a lady that works very hard, and I'm a good listener, and I'll say this to you. I'm never too busy to answer my telephone 24/7. I'm Linda Bright, I'm running at large for City Council, and I would be humbly appreciative of your vote. Good evening.
Gary Hubbard.
Thank you for letting me address you. The Green Line is to say no sewer, no water. Farming is tough business. There's very little profit. The overhead is high. The Pungo Ferry Road needs to be elevated. There is no other way to do it. If you can't get your grain to market, you lose. It only takes one season to actually go under. I understand this. So we need to actually address this. The Dewberry study, Jim was right. The elevations on some of these roads are not high enough. So you might as well do it right by the time you do it. I've looked at the budget, and some of the things we need to do, we need to address the fiscal responsibility to make sure we address the debt so we can actually move forward on a lot of these things. But the idea that we're going to sit here and not do the things we do, we have got to take the first step. We've got to move our vibrant Virginia city into the 21st century. We're either going to be a beach sleepy town, or we're going to move forward so we can actually create jobs. I created a lot of high-paid jobs, so I know what businesses need. So I will work hard for you. I want to represent all the citizens of Virginia Beach, not just the developers, but I want you to hold me accountable. I want to hear your concerns, your ideas, and your...
Thank you. Thank you, John Moss.
Well, my top priority is to faithfully execute my oath of office. And in doing that, that makes sure that the city's budget is leaner than your home budget. And also makes sure that the city resources that we do have are going to the highest priority in our community, which I told you earlier was flooding. Flooding is public safety, and it's an existential threat to our community. Nothing matters more than keeping your property and your possessions dry from the threat of nature. Just look what happened in North Carolina and South Carolina. Look what happened in Florida. One day, that could be us. One day, it will be us. The time to prepare is now, and we're really late to the game. I'd appreciate your vote on Tuesday, November 6th. John Moss, thank you.
The Oliver.
Hi. Well, my first priority is to build the city out with smart planning while we're protecting all the areas of the city. As a planning commissioner, I'm at large, and as your future city council person, hopefully, I will represent you, all the city. But we have a beautiful area here, as we do in all the other parts of the city. My first priority will be to take care of flooding immediately, to protect our city, to help it to grow economically for our children and our future, and that's my goal. Thank you so much. I hope you remember me on November the 6th.
Aaron Ralph.
Thank you for having me tonight. My goal, my priority is to restore your trust in our local government, to make sure that the process is fair, that you have a voice, and that we value every segment of our community, protecting the Green Line. You know, I'm a millennial, I'm young, we have pushed technology on our kids so much that they don't know what a cornfield is. They don't know about the Strawberry Festival. I want to make sure we get them back out down here and learning responsibility and accountability, making sure that we hold highest standards for our kids. Make sure they are morally, have values, principal values, and grow them up the right way. It's more to be learned than just on an iPad or technology. I want to make sure we actually go after flooding and be responsible with your tax dollars. I want to make sure that if you have a concern, that you don't have to bring it to city council, that we are already in your community understanding those and making sure that there's an open atmosphere for you to bring your concerns and do something about it. I want to lead our community into the next generation for our kids' future. I'm Aaron Rouse. I respectfully and humbly ask for your vote come November 6th. Thank you for having me tonight.
Allison White.
When on city council, I would make decisions for the best interests of citizens of Virginia Beach. As a public high school teacher, I would fully represent the interests of our school students and teachers. I would work really hard to resolve our flooding issue, first with immediate solutions of dredging and cleaning out ditches, and then a more permanent solution with hopefully green solutions. I strongly support the ARP program. In fact, I would expand on it. I would like to increase pay and benefits for our public safety personnel. I think we need to expand our local economy and make it easier for small business owners and entrepreneurs to get a good start here. And I would lastly try to be a good steward with taxpayer dollars. My name is Allison White, at large district. Thank you very much.
Lewis Jones.
Groundwater levels are rising anywhere from 1.5 feet to 3 feet. Seawater level is rising also. That's the major threat that we face here in Tidewater, Virginia, and Southampton Roads. That's the priority that we have to address immediately. And I will do everything I can to make a plan that works and protects us from those dangers. Thank you.
Brad Martin. My first priority when I'm on city council is certainly going to be the stormwater and the flooding, not only because it's right in my wheelhouse in my 26 years of engineering expertise, but because it is the threat to our economy and our property for the next 10, 20, 30 years. Because it is, I think we need to go after state and federal dollars to help keep us to help protect us from the flooding damage. I also think we can turn it into an opportunity because we've got these three different kinds of flooding with the winds and the tides and the rain. It is a study opportunity that our educational institutions like ODU can become centers of excellence. And then when we come up with solutions to this flooding, that can be another economic driver where we are actually bringing jobs here that solve the flooding, that study the flooding. Stormwater and flooding is the primary priority that has to be focused on by all of these city council members for the next decade.
Richard Kowalik. Thank you for having me. I'm for the ARP. I'm for the Great Green Line. Flooding is the most serious problem we have right now. It needs to be addressed. But the governor recently just said the cronyism needs to stop in Virginia Beach. Well, I call it corruption. I'm not politically correct. It's a business killer, and it's a city killer. And if corruption doesn't matter, then no election will ever matter. If corruption doesn't matter, then no election will ever matter. The money is being wasted on projects that are not bringing anything in to the bottom line. We need to protect our money. It's like Moss said, it's our duty, it's our first duty as a councilperson to oversee and protect our money equally and fairly for everybody. And when you vote for RK, you won't have to look and gauge where I'm coming from, because I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do, and I will work for you. Thank you. Vote RK.
Well, I've been doing this for a long time, and I think it's important to note the city council has a myriad of issues. We meet every single week, and so there are a ton of things that we have to address on a regular basis. But I think it's very clear that I have not been afraid, and neither has your current council been afraid, to address infrastructure issues. I've spoken about roads and schools. And clearly, stormwater is going, it's an increasing problem, and that is just going to be something that we're going to have to deal with. I think it's important to note that we have $187 million worth of new projects that are currently funded and being worked through to improve our stormwater system. Within that are the studies and the mapping that is actually going to give us the science to direct how we should work towards having real-world effective solutions. I've been very relieved as we've gone through these forums to not hear from any of the candidates that solving stormwater issues is going to be quick or that it's going to be cheap. But I think it is important to recognize that within those two things, we have two responsibilities. We need to make sure that the programs that we do to address stormwater are going to work, because they're going to be expensive. And the second thing that we need to do, and maybe more importantly, is that we need to have it so that we put in projects that don't just take the problem from one area and transfer it to another. That's the type of science, and that is the type of methodology we need to do going forward. I would be happy to be part of that process. Thank you.
Mike Nestel.
My name is Mike Nestel. I'm running for the Lynn Haven seat on City Council, and my top priority is to reset Virginia Beach's priorities and put our budget priorities in the right order. That means putting the existential threat to our city and its homes flooding at the top of the list before any optional things like a new city hall. And my second priority after fixing our budget is to keep our budget priorities in the right order. And the way we do that is by empowering your vote so that your vote matters to your district city councilman, so that your local issues get attention, get representation on city council. Because when your council representative can be elected without votes from their own district, when they don't need their district's voters to get reelected, that's how you end up with a situation like, for example, where you have a Lynn Haven City Council representative who questions whether the homes in Windsor Woods are worth enough money to do stormwater and flooding prevention projects there. So I'm Mike Maskell. This is the things I want to fix for you, so vote for me November 6th for Lynn Haven District.
Jim Wood.
Well, good evening. Thank you very much for having us out here tonight. My name is Jim Wood, and I would appreciate your vote on November 6th. You talk about the number one priority. You certainly hear stormwater as being a major priority, and it certainly is. But I think it's a false narrative to think that that's the only thing we're going to work on. As John Earn mentioned just a few minutes ago, we have a lot of issues that we work on every single week in Virginia Beach, and we're not going to work just on stormwater. We're going to continue to keep our schools great. We're going to continue to work on our roads. We're going to continue to adequately fund and support public safety. So I would appreciate your vote on November 6th, because I'm going to continue to keep Virginia Beach moving forward. Thank you.
Barbara Henley.
Of course, my top priority is making certain that all the folks in the southern part of the city have strong representation on the city council. But I want to correct a misrepresentation that was made about the Ag Reserve Program a little bit ago. The Ag Reserve Program is actually overseen by the Agricultural Advisory Commission. They review every application, everything that's done. There has never been an application turned down or not followed through on because of lack of money. That I assure you. But from time to time, when there was less demand because of certain economic issues that we have no control over, we would perhaps build up a little bit of excess in that property. And it has been used from time to time with the full approval of the Ag Advisory Commission for other uses. Right now, there's an agreement that excess money will be used in this area for drainage projects. So we have a greater amount of money now in use in this area for drainage because of the ARP. If we expand ARP, I'm going to be right there at council asking for more money. So everything is relative to the situation. If you have a question about anything that you hear, you know where I live. I hope you'll come and get the right information.
Karen Blodgett.
One of the things I learned on the Planning Commission is that all areas of the city interlock, and the health of any one area is dependent upon the health of the rest of the city and vice versa. And so while I have priorities, they're all interconnected. First and foremost, of course, is flooding. It will take a united will, as I said earlier, and a community effort to begin to address this problem. It will also take regional relationships so we can leverage for state and federal funding. That is underpinned, however, by four key areas. One is reconnecting and diversifying our agriculture and tourism markets. The other is addressing our military dependency by growing new industry. The third is thinking creatively about redevelopment, revitalization, and repurposing our aging retail and office space. The fourth is emphasizing that we are inclusive in our business dealings, we are transparent, and that we understand we are a growing demographic. And finally, that we value our public safety and our teachers so that we can bring the best of the best to this city. I'm Karen Kwasny. I'm looking forward to serving you. Vote for me on November 6th. Thank you.
Thank you to the Rurertons, thank you to the Farm Bureau, thank you to John Doucette for having us here tonight. It's nice to be in a building that reminds me of college, where you had to leave this building and go to the bathroom somewhere else. I went to a very small school in South Carolina. On January of 2018, I was in front of City Council, and the mayor said I was a liar. I don't lie. Look at YouTube and go back in January of 2018 and see the mayor said that I was lying. I don't lie. And it was proven that I wasn't lying that night. There are two number ones for me. Number one, I think this will make it easier. Number one is if we have a majority in January of 2019, we can fire our current city manager, who will then put flooding as the number one priority. Why does the Pungo Ferry River Bridge, why does it have to flood three times? Why can't we get something done the first time it floods or get people out there working on that? So flooding is the main priority. Enough studies, I don't want to wait 4 more months, I don't want to wait 2 more years. I want to get busy doing what we can do now to fix flooding. My name is Tim Wersch. Thank you again for having us here tonight.
Lieutenant Davenport. Thank you all for having us here tonight. It's been very informative, I hope. Public safety, education, transportation, these are the core functions of any municipal government. We're going to continue to be strong on all three of those. Education, I'm endorsed by the Virginia Beach Education Association, the teachers, because they know that I have a commitment to making sure that our schools are the best. Then public safety, I'm endorsed by the Fraternal Order of Police because they know that I'm going to do whatever it takes to keep our city safe. And on transportation, we're going to work with the state and the federal government to make sure that we have shovel-ready projects that are available for federal and state funding to make sure that we continue to maintain our storm or our roadways. We need to do a lot of work down here in terms of the infrastructure projects. We need to grow our economy. I've been endorsed by the Hampton Roads Chamber of Commerce because they know my commitment and my vision to grow this economy, which keeps our real estate taxes low. You all have my commitment that that's what I'm going to do for the city of Virginia Beach. And I'm Ben Davenport, and it's been a real honor to be with y'all tonight.
Bobby Dyer. Thank you. It is a privilege to be here among you tonight. Mission essential is that we have to create new revenue. We have to improve the image and the perception and the culture of Virginia Beach and make sure that everybody knows there's a level playing field that will spawn new businesses and keep current businesses going. We have many, many challenges, my friends, but we have to find a way to pay for it. And to do that, we have to be proactive, pro-business, and pro-citizen. Thank you, and God bless you for coming tonight.
Conrad Shizuka.
Besides the Oakland Raiders, my first love is government. And much like the Oakland Raiders, government lets you down. Well, I'm going to change the culture of our government. I believe that it has been massively indifferent to what we consider our needs and our wants. So I'm going to change the class, the culture of city government itself as soon as you vote me in on November 6th. This city deserves a better class of councilperson. I'm going to give it to them if you consider Conrad on November 6th. Thank you.
Sabrina Wheaton.
The next Senegal District councilperson My priorities will focus on flooding, making sure that we address flooding now, traffic issues and concerns, making sure we are working on traffic calming problems to address those issues. Also, building relationships inwardly in the city, building relationships out with our sister cities, and building relationships within the region to make sure we have the influence we need to address city issues. Also, communication, improving communication with our citizens, making sure that I engage you, making sure there's transparency, and making sure that you have your voice, that it's heard. Those will be my priorities. November 6th, I ask for your support and your vote. Thank you.
Conrad, try being New England Patriots fan on Super Bowl night. That's disappointing. At any rate, a lot of people can stand up and give you pie in the sky, tell you what we're going to do first. To be quite honest, as new council people, we're trying to learn the culture of council. We're trying to not only bring relationships from people outside, but we got to bring relationships within our peers. We have to make sure that we earn the respect of our peers so that when we go to one, we say, hey, listen, we got to really fix this flooding. So at some point in time, we have to be able to work with our peers. That is the first. That's my first. The biggest thing that I really want to do is be a good steward of taxpayer money. I want to make sure that we adequately fund everything, the three core functions of government without raising taxes. As the great man once said, raising taxes destroys families, destroys jobs, it takes away hope. And you will not have that when you elect Eric Ray to the Virginia Beach City Council representing Centerville. Good government is one vote away when you go all the way with Eric Ray. Thank you very much, everybody.
All right, folks, how about a round of applause for all our candidates tonight? And since I have the power of the microphone, I would also ask you to give a round of applause to the two officers in the back who are representing the best police department in the United States of America. They're out there 24/7, 365, looking out for us. Candidates, thank you all so very much for being here, for your responses and your decorum. Some of the audience members may want to corner.